Hey, my name is Parker Manuel, pastor of Pinewood Church in Boulder, Colorado, where our mission is to meet people where they are and point them to Jesus. Hope you enjoy today's podcast.
I couldn't be more excited to be with you this morning. I love being here at Pinewood. I love what God is doing in Boulder. And at the same time, I love the people that are pursuing and looking for God here in Boulder as well. Whether they're ready for God to speak to them or change their life or not, it's okay. By the way, Pinewood is a safe place to not believe in Jesus. I love this church because this is a safe place for you to be investigating your own faith. You can be thinking about God. You can be hopeful that you could find faith, you could be searching, you could say this, I'm just spiritual. And yet you could have that not defined and you can come here and you can say, I am curious about what God may have for me and I'm curious about my spirituality and I'm curious about finding a foundation that I can stand on and not just stay spiritual, but actually have a foundation to live supernaturally. And so this is exciting for me. I think there's something special that God wants to do today. I want to bring to you a message that is titled, The World Around You. The World Around You. Did you know that there's a world around you that's different than the world around other people? There's a world around me that's different. There's a world around Pastor Parker that's different. There's a world around you that is just different than everyone else's. Yes, we share similarities. Yes, we may define it in similar ways, but your viewpoint and what you're going through is super unique. And it's unique to you because that is who you are. You are unique and you are wonderful and you were made. And your history and who you are today is different than everybody else's. Meaning you carry a past and you're carrying it into your present and you have a dream about your future, ideas about what may happen later today. And all of those things are unique to you got it, you. And so the world around you is really, really special. I want to speak to that world today. And I want us to maybe question what Jesus was really like. Because I think if we can have our own world be impacted by who he is, that's kind of what we're after, isn't it? Because if God is real, if Jesus is alive, if his spirit, the Holy Spirit, is wanting to move in our lives, then he is either going to do that or he is not if we are curious and we are available for him to do that. So the question I want to bring this morning as we think about the world around us, because we're in the middle of this relationship series. I think this is week three. And as we look at week three, I've been asked to talk about, hey, Trevor, could you talk about loving the world? And I think it's going to be difficult for us to think about loving the world until we understand how to love our own world immediately. And I love this story that's kind of on my heart today. This story means a lot to me. And I've gained a lot over these verses, these sentences in the Word of God, the Bible. And so these sentences, this really cool narrative has made a huge impact on my own personal life. And so I just want to bring this question. Have you ever wondered what Jesus was actually like? Have you ever wondered what he was actually like? And how did he really live his life? Because we can look at what he did and we can look at kind of the things that he decided to do and we can put them in an order of importance. We can list them out, we can read them and we can say, he went here, he did that, he accomplished this, he went there, and that's awesome. But if we're not careful, we do some things as humans and we put these lists together and then we say, okay, now how can I do all of this where I am? And I just wanna call a timeout, chill out if you're a list person in here today, okay? Calm down, okay? Now I am not somebody who values, can I say this? I'm not really somebody who values going to grocery stores with lists. I don't know if there's anyone else in here with me. I don't love lists. I'm trying to see what the grocery store has for me. I mean, I'm just interested today, okay? There's somebody out here who loves girl math, okay? And you like girl math so much. Here, let me explain this real quick. You like girl math so much that you're looking for the deal, okay? And your list is how much money can I save today? How much money can I save you, honey, today? You know what I mean? Like, look at what I did today for you, baby. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't know. My wife is, I'm not going to say that I don't need a list for her. Okay. I'm going to love my wife by taking the list, but I'm also going to say like, there may be some extra. Okay. Like the Lord may provide in a way that I wasn't ready for. And I think the creativity that comes in with that is just so much fun. I want to see what the grocery store has for me. And I think it's okay to dive into how sometimes. How do you go through life? Or are you just maybe existing and just feeling like you've got motions to accomplish or tasks to overcome? Or I think sometimes you maybe get so into the formula that is your life that you miss what the difference between having a full life versus living in the fullness of life really is. See, it's been said many times, whether you're looking for Pinterest on inspiration or you're looking for Instagram for inspiration or X owns your world, when you think about quotes to put on your wall or to share with somebody, but there's a huge difference between filling your life and living a life that is the fullest possible, AKA busy, AKA look at the schedule that I'm keeping, AKA like, look at all this stuff I got to do today, versus the fullness of life and experiencing all that life has for you and has for me. There is a difference. And I just want to call time out on filling our lives this morning. And I want to invite you to maybe, just maybe, with the world around you in mind, step into what a life that is experiencing the fullness of life could look like. And the depth and the breadth and the joy and the love and the patience and the fruit that God says that we can find if we live in the fullness of being in a relationship with Him can provide. So we all want to experience deep love and have the best possible life. Some would describe it as fullest versus the fullness. But on a weekly, daily, even hourly basis, we get told what that kind of life should look like. From a constantly changing opinion that is a worldview or someone's idea or how they've experienced, this constant flow of information for us, whether it's X, IG, or Pinterest, kind of like what I was saying, is a huge barrier to our ability to actually move and even begin to make this life we have been given. My aim today, in the middle of this relationship series, is to look at the way Jesus simply loved the world around him as a key to unlocking the life we are desperate for. I am desperate for. You are desperate for. The fullness. So I'm going to begin reading in chapter 19 of Luke, beginning in verse 1. Check this out. Jesus entered Jericho, and he made his way through the town. There was a man there named Zacchaeus. He was the chief tax collector in the region, and he had become very rich. He tried to get a look at Jesus, but he was too short to see over the crowd. Shout out to all the short people in here. Okay. Come on. We love you. I love you because I am you. You know what I'm saying? Like it's all good for the short men in the room. Hey, we're short for a reason because there's some other areas that we can come through on and be strong. You know, we don't need to have everything be tall in our life because we have other areas of importance and effectiveness. Is it okay if I go on a tangent on this? I'm just kidding. Like go on the, we can, you know, there's some syndromes that would say that we carry because we're so powerful in other areas. And so this is not a short man's joke, so we'll move on. So Zacchaeus, he tried to get a look at Jesus, and he was too short to see over the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree beside the road, for Jesus was going to pass that way. When Jesus came by, he looked up at Zacchaeus and called him by name. Zacchaeus, he said, quick, come down. I must be a guest at your home today. Zacchaeus quickly climbed down, and he took Jesus to his house in great excitement and joy. But the people were displeased. He has gone to be the guest of a notorious sinner. They grumbled. Meanwhile, Zacchaeus stood before the Lord and said, I will give half my wealth to the poor. Lord, if I have cheated people on their taxes, I will give them back four times as much. And Jesus responded, salvation has come to this home today, for this man has shown himself to be a true son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save those who are lost. How can I begin to experience life and be like Jesus? See, I think it's important that we don't underestimate the seriousness of where Jesus was going as he was making his way through Jericho, this town. It's important because you think that you are making your way through Boulder every day on your way to something that is important. See, Jesus is headed to Jerusalem for the last part of his ministry. You know what happens in the last part of Jesus' ministry? He dies for you, and he dies for me. And he defeats death, and he is raised on the third day so that we can experience life in him. He's probably doing the most important thing that anyone has ever done. That's where he's headed. So if you say that what you're doing on a daily basis is important, guess what? Jesus can relate. You know what I'm saying? Like, we can relate. So let's look at this on his way, okay? See, there's definitely something important that Jesus is on his way to do. But one of the most important things to me is this, how slow and not in a hurry Jesus lived. How slow and not in a hurry he lived. See, Jesus was slowly on his way. The world around you needs you to first begin to live a life that is you methodically moving through it, strategically moving through it, presently moving through it. So you can't live in the future and you can't also live in the past. It's good to reflect and it's good to look forward, but you can't live in either of those places. The gift is in the present. That's why it's called that, maybe. You know, I like that. There's a turtle in Kung Fu Panda who said that one time. It's really valuable for us to begin to think and move slowly on our way through our days. See, if you don't know how to slow down, how can you ever respond with intention versus reacting out of intensity? See, the faster you go, the more tunneled vision you get. The faster you go, the more tunneled vision you get. The faster you move in a car, guess what? Your peripheral vision is getting blurred because you better stay focused for the sake of your safety. Slowing down allows us to do something very, very important that Jesus reveals to us in this moment. And it's this. His perspective is widened. Slowing down widens our perspective on life and people and things of value that are right around us. See, there are people around you that you pass by regularly and do not even see who they are. They're regularly around you and you don't even see them. You order from them and they look familiar, but you don't know them. There may be the cubicle next to you where they're an acquaintance or they're visually like, oh, I think I've been around this person before, but you don't know their name. You don't know who they are. See, there's a world around you that you're not even experiencing. Have you ever let the important thing you were doing stop you from valuing the most important thing to you? See, I regularly try to encourage people to build a spiritual habit in simplicity before they apply it in complexity. Because I believe it's really difficult to apply complexity to complexity. Guess what you do all the time? Yeah, I can't do that. We say that a lot. I can't do that. I don't have time for that. So let's call a time out on that statement, and let's begin to think about what it looks like to have the excitement and the creativity that is us following Jesus and say like, hey, Lord, how do you want me to add this to my life in simplicity because my life is complex? If you and I actually know its value in a simple way, then we will create a life around that habit and it'll actually be a part of how we live. A question for you and me today to get us to jumpstart our vision with this world around us is this. I want to encourage you to write this down. I want to encourage you to think about this in depth because this will change your life. And it's three words. Are you interruptible? Are you interruptible? Are you interruptible? Jesus is. He was. He will be. It's the nature of the kingdom of heaven. 50% of Jesus's miracles were an interruption. 50%. If you are not interruptible, guess what you may be missing out on? 50% of living. 50% of actually seeing the lives changed around you. 50% of the relationships that God has for you. 50% of the miracles that you have not moved into because you can't even see them. You aren't available to them. Priscilla Shire said this, believing that life interruptions, divine interruptions, are a privilege not only causes us to handle them differently, but to await them eagerly. Henry Nguyen said, you know, my whole life I've been complaining that my work was constantly interrupted until I discovered that my interruptions were my work. When we are available, then life actually can begin to be lived. If you are unavailable, you cannot stop and see. Jesus stopped to see in the middle of a crowd someone he needed to see, someone ready for him to see, someone available for him to see. Once Jesus stops and sees who is above him, then he can respond by saying something that seems to always lead to life being impacted. He says Zacchaeus' name. He says his name because he has great value to Jesus. Jesus loves Zacchaeus. He just simply loves him. See, there is a foundation of love that comes from God, and we need to be aware of it for you. You need to be aware of this for you first, so that you can begin to live from this foundation second. Psalm 139 says this, beginning in verse 13. For you formed my inward parts. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. My soul knows it very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was being made in secret. Understanding my own, your own worth in God's eyes is crucial before we can fully love others. Just in the world right around us. So how does God love you? Where is this foundation rooted in? Yes, he is your creator, but even more than that, he has put something in you that he has created that is similar to him. Trevor, what are you talking about? Listen to this. The Imago Dei means in the image of God. And it means that human beings, all human beings, are created in the likeness of God, which gives every person inherent dignity and worth. You have an inherent created dignity and worth that is in the image of God. Listen to this. Genesis 1:27 reveals it. So God created mankind in his own image, in the Imago Dei. In the image of God, in the Imago Dei, he created them. Male and female, he created them. This means each person you meet carries a part of God's own nature, his love, his creativity, and his spirit of life. If you believe the creator made them on purpose for purpose, then we begin there to desire to build a relationship of love that is foundational. So Jesus, from that foundation, says something to build a relationship that is real with Zacchaeus. And he says his name, and then he says, come down, it's time to hang. He invites himself into his life. But where you are and where I am, how can I love a world that I don't even like? Shout out to you if you don't like the world around you. Shout out to you if you don't like the world. You know, like, there's some things that I'm like, sheesh, what are we doing? I don't even like you. How am I supposed to love you? That doesn't make any sense. So this foundation, that's great. I need for it to be built on something else other than my own desires and likes and loves, my own values or my own whatever that is from me. But if I can place my value system on God's through my relationship with him, then I can begin to say, okay, but maybe. Can we be curious today with the but maybe? Because maybe we need to have a different foundation that isn't just from us and our own things, but that is from God, so that we can begin to build a relationship that is real and actually can make an impact beyond what we think and the assumptions that we make. Because we all know what happens when we assume. We can just leave that there. It is vital for us to see the world around us through the lens of Jesus's love. It's vital. It's vital for you, right? 50%. You're living a half life right now. We're living a half life right now. It's vital for you. Understanding someone today will help you see them the way that Jesus sees them. Understanding someone. It's time for us to begin to seek to understand first before we make statements about them and to them. Seek to understand who they are and where they're coming from and why they are uniquely and wonderfully made. Because if you're uniquely and wonderfully made, and God loves everyone, guess what we can probably assume, and not just assume, but know to be true. It's factual. That the person next to you, in front of you, behind you, around you is that. Uniquely and wonderfully made. This is exciting for us because then we get to play a game. And what's the game? I have nothing to relate to you. Guess what I'm going to try and do? I'm going to try and figure out why you're uniquely and wonderfully made. How you're uniquely and wonderfully made. I'm going to pursue this exciting endeavor that is, I don't know you. Let's get to know each other. You know what? I don't even care. Time out. I don't even care if you get to know me. I don't even care if you want to get to know me. Why? Because Jesus has already given me everything. I don't need anything from anyone because Jesus has already given me everything I need. If he becomes everything you need, then we can be everything someone else needs because through him, he uses us and then we get to be an arrow pointing to him. I help. Then my life is me just becoming more like him. Oh, shoot. And then I'm starting to separate the 50% and I'm starting to step into the next 50. And then the 100% starts to get colored in. And I'm not just having a full life. I'm experiencing the fullness of life. I'm not just watching TV in black and white. I'm starting to experience what color feels like and looks like. And then my eyes start to open wide and it's not just the caffeine, okay? And then I start get to a little be a little excited because it's not just the things I'm consuming, it's the who I am being. And then I don't need caffeine anymore. And then I don't have to worry about my substance abuse, you know? And then I'm not worried about like filling my life. I'm already full. I'm full of him. And then I'm experiencing what it means to live a life that just flows. Ah, yes. I love that about you. That's what I'm looking for. Personally. Yeah, I love that about you. You know what? If someone's spending time with you, you can just say, thank you for that. I love that you just made time in your day for us to spend time together. You can be grateful for someone that just follows through with, hey, we should get coffee. Because, you know, no one's following through with that these days. You know what I'm saying? Like, hey, we should get coffee sometime. You don't have my number. You know, you don't even follow me on the IG, you know, good luck DMing me. I'm private. If I can like the image of God in them, then I can have a shared experience that doesn't just change them. It also changes me. If I can just learn to like the image of God in them. Oh, I love that about you. Oh, I see it. We've had a conversation where I can see it. I can see what God did there. I see you, G. Like, you did this in them. That's cool. They like this. That's their passion. Here's the cool nuance about that thing. Here's their commitment about the passion that they love. You know what? I love that. You know what? I love that about you. We don't have to be best friends for me to say that or to me to love something about you, because I'm loving and liking the God thing that he did in them. And then I'm freed up of feeling like we've got to have a further conversation because we're having a shared experience that changes me and them. One of my best friends, we were talking this morning. I don't get to see him a ton. He lives in London, but we talk all the time. And one of the things that I saw him do that really changed me is we sat down with somebody, and it was going to be probably the only conversation that he ever had with that person. And I wanted him to speak into their life from a different point of view. And he said something that really impacted me. He said, "Hey, we could have a conversation that is casual and about random stuff, but I know this, we only have a certain amount of time. What's the conversation that we need to have that'll change both your life and mine forever? What's that topic? I'm ready for it." And I was like, "Oh, shoot. I'm stealing that one. Like, I'm gonna borrow that one for the rest of my life, because then we can start having conversation and a life that goes from the 50% that we're comfortable with to the 50% that is a miraculous moment that we're not, that we can prepare ourselves for, but we're not ready. We don't know what's gonna happen." Like, that's a colorful conversation. Oh, I can lean in a little bit. This is fresh. I'm living differently now. I'm thinking differently now, because we're not just talking about something that is, we're talking about something that maybe should be, or that could be, or that somebody's wrestling with. Because I believe lately you've been wrestling with something that God's been doing in your life. Actually, my prayer and my hope, and Parker and I were talking, is that these past 2 weeks were weeks of you wrestling. But have you been wrestling, and are you wrestling? I would dare say that every human is wrestling, just some of us are better at avoiding than others. Wait. But what did Jesus actually say or do when he hung out with Zacchaeus, right? Can somebody help me out with that? The best theologians have no clue what Jesus could have said or do. We're good at guessing. But I believe Jesus is so creative and so uniquely specific to the people that he's around that he saw Zacchaeus and he said something unique just for Zacchaeus. He was just loving Zacchaeus. He was hanging with Zacchaeus. He was God to Zacchaeus. He created, in the beginning was him. Everything was created through him. The physical image of the invisible God, Jesus, right there with everyone right in the middle bit of it. He knows Zacchaeus' purpose. So we're leaning into who Zacchaeus is. I think the exact point is being made by the details of the conversation and the hang not being in scripture. Because it's important to notice the details are not written here for us to see, because I think it's because God knows us and we would make a program about it in the church. And we would say, follow this formula. But you know that what? Zacchaeus is uniquely and wonderfully made. So there was something Zacchaeus uniquely needed to hear, and it's different than what you uniquely need to hear today. And the Holy Spirit used Jesus in the moment. By the way, the Holy Spirit is Jesus' spirit. So it's okay to say he used Jesus, because his spirit is wanting to move in your life as well. The spirit of Jesus is wanting to move through you. And so Jesus is meeting Zacchaeus where Zacchaeus is. Well, guess what? He's trying to meet you where you are. And guess what? He's trying to use you to meet you to use you to meet where other people are around you. The world around you needs you, because God wants to use you to impact them. And those moments, we would follow a formula, but that would completely go against the point. Being a friend is not a formula. It's being present and valuing the person as greater than yourself. That's why Jesus says, no greater friend than this than the one to lay down his life for another. Guess what's harder to do? Lay down your life every day for somebody. Lay down your desires every day for somebody. Lay down what you want every day for somebody. Lay down what you're thinking every day for somebody. Lay down anyone asking you what you want or where you're going, and lay that down and say, you know, all I focus on is you and what God's trying to do in your life. Because you know why? Because God's going to take care of me. My relationship with him is enough. I don't need necessarily my relationship with you. I want my relationship with you. The relationship changes. The relationship changes completely. When we adopt these behaviors in our daily lives to emulate Jesus' approach to loving others, we will be living a life that doesn't just flow, it overflows. It overflows into those lives around us. We love the world by first loving ours the way Jesus leads us to. We love the world by first loving our world and let Jesus lead us to loving them so that we can learn to love it. Consider the result of a life lived like Jesus. Consider it. Look what happens in this story. It has been pointed out again that almost 50% of the miracles Jesus performed in his ministry were interruptions. And many of those compelling encounters with Christ were unplanned. Are you interruptible? Or are you trying to live the fullest life? Or are you trying to live in the fullness of life? I want to invite who's playing their keys to come out so that we can have this moment of closing. And I want you to consider this. As we consider the result of a life lived like Jesus, listen to this. It was all the way too much. It was just all too much for Z. Z Money, Zacchaeus. He had everything. Z Money, it says literally he was a chief tax collector, aka the original gangster. Like he was just stealing money from people, working for the Romans and then pulling off the top. Pretty much. He's an OG. He's literally a gangster in the Bible. And he's not just A, he's the chief. So that means he has the boys. Like he has the homies everywhere. Like he has a squad everywhere. He rolls deep. He has everything that life could offer him. Money's not a thing. And then it says he's rich, Z Money. My youngest loves it when I call him Z Money. His name's Zeke, and we call him Z Money. And I just love that. I love that he's like, my name's Z Money. Like he's like 2 years old and saying that. In this middle of this hang that Jesus is having, Zacchaeus has had enough. We don't know what happened. Jesus is just loving him. Zacchaeus has had enough. And the scripture says he stands up in front of Jesus. And he's like, This is crazy. This is too good to be true. I can't believe you're here with me. In verse 8, he stands up and he says, I'm changing everything. I'm giving money back. I don't need any money. What I have found in an afternoon with you changes my whole eternity, my whole life. Can I just have a life with you? Can I just have a relationship with you? I just want to go with you. You want to go with me? This is crazy. You should never know me. You should never be with me. You should never want to hang out with me. This is so wild. I just want what you have, Jesus. I just want you. I just want to hang out with you forever. I give everything back. I don't need any money. I don't need to. I just want forgiveness of like everything that I've done. Like, I just want you. And this is what the love of Jesus does. It changes everything. And this is the second 50% that's for you and for me. This is how we can live. A life that sees these kinds of outcomes in the most unexpected places. Whether you're at Alpine Modern this morning, or you're gonna be, or you were at the rainy game yesterday that was the Colorado Buffs game, or you just said, you know what, I was at Lil Wayne last night, I'm not gonna lie, okay? Whether it was you were hanging around Lil Tucci or you were just wherever you go, it doesn't matter. But like the point is this, are you just being Jesus to the people that you're around? You may find yourself in places because you've been invited. Guess what? Jesus invited himself into Zacchaeus' life. He saw that Zacchaeus was interested in who he was and was available. And he said, I'm in for what you have for me. I'm coming over today. You cool to hang? He didn't even ask. He said, I'm coming over. Zacchaeus was like, for real? The most famous person walking through the streets right now, crowds around him. You want to come over to my house? You should never know me. You should never want to hang out with me. And by the way, the people that said that they were religious, they were upset, weren't they? The people that were religious were like, why? He doesn't want to hang out with us. He wants to hang out with him. What are we talking about? See, I really want you to grasp what I'm about to say. So if I could have everyone's eyes and just everyone's minds and hearts right now, listen to this. Become like Jesus so you can love others like him. Not because you like them, but because you're like him. I'll say it again. Become like Jesus so you can love others like him. Not because you like them, but because you're like him. I'm not asking you to like everybody. I'm asking you to like him, to love him, to become like him. And from there, you'll see the world around you differently. From there, the world around you changes. From there, the world changes. The world won't change until your world changes. And so the exciting thing for us today is that we can become like Jesus to the people that are most available to us, which is who you spend the most of your time with, who you pass by, and you maybe have seen them enough to say, well, this may be awkward. Well, guess what? When you begin to shake just a little bit because of nervousness, that means you should probably lean into that and have the conversation you need to have, not just the conversation you're comfortable having. Who is the person like Jesus in your life who is watching you from the tree, but you haven't become like Jesus enough to even invite them into your life? I want you to take 20 seconds. Take 20 seconds. And I want you to think about who that person is. Who's in the tree? Who's trying to figure out what you're about? Who's around you that you may be missing? Take 20 seconds. Thanks be to God that Jesus was interruptible, because the truth is the kingdom of heaven is interruptible by its very nature. It's grace interrupting shame, mercy interrupting judgment, love interrupting hate. The world around you finds Jesus when you become like him. God, would you move in our life? Help us to see you for who you really are. God, thank you, Jesus, for meeting us. Thank you for interrupting us while yet we were still sinners. Yet, Christ, you died for me, the individual in the room. You weren't waiting for me to get right. You helped me become right, not pointing a judgmental, accusing finger. No, you just came into the world to make it right again. God, I pray that we would just own our relationship with you. And from there, we would live in the overflow and experience the fullness of a life that is found in loving you, to where we can experience bolder, finding what we have found. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
Hey, thanks for listening. If you'd like to learn more, or if you'd like to join us on a Sunday, head on over to pinewoodboulder.com. If you enjoyed this podcast, please share it. And if you'd like to be notified every time we post new content, then subscribe. And remember, just keep coming back.